You should be driving a Honda. You should be driving a Honda from Honda of Aiken. Honda of Aiken.
Honda Cars of Aiken on Aiken Augusta Highway will terminate your current lease or loan no matter how much you owe and get you into a new Honda for a lower monthly payment regardless of your credit history. 2010 Civic VP with automatic, just $99 a month. 2010 Accord LX sedan with automatic, $139 a month. And if you find a lower advertised price on any new Honda, Honda Cars of Aiken will pay you 110% of the difference in cash. We'll terminate your old car no matter how much you owe and lower your monthly payment in a brand new Honda, even if you don't have perfect credit.
You should be driving a Honda from Honda of Aiken.
Honda Cars of Aiken on Aiken Augusta Highway, 10 minutes east of the Savannah River in beautiful Aiken, South Carolina. Call 803-663-3636. On the web at HondaCarsOfAiken.com. 36-month close-in lease, $34.99 due at signing, plus tax tag and $299.50 administration fee. Price comparison must be validated within 3 days of purchase.
Now is the time for the intense event at J.D. Byrider. Sizzling summer specials that include the hottest vehicles, fast financing from the nation's finance powerhouse, nearly 900,000 customers and counting. Look for the tents, see what's sizzling. Get up to $4,500 for your trade and extended service coverage for 2 years or 24,000 miles. And $99 can deliver. Good cars, fast credit. The intense event. It's sizzling.
That's J.D. Byrider.
J.D. to rescue.
$99 and delivery. Dealer will finance additional deferred down payments. Does not include tax, titles, and fees. Limited offer with approved credit on select vehicles at participating dealers. See participating dealer for full details and down payment requirement. Your down payment may vary. Sample deal, 40 monthly payments and $34.97 for $1,000 finance at 21% APR. Your payment and interest rate may vary. Ask about our warranties and extended service contracts.
JD to the rescue. JD by
Ryder. We, as Americans,
every 4 years, something remarkable happens in America. Something that other countries in the world are in awe of. Something that's occurred uninterrupted for more than 200 years. And every day, something equally remarkable happens. All across America, young men turning 18 show they take their responsibilities seriously and register with Selective Service. No, there may not be any televised debates or inaugural parades, but young men who stand up and register are every bit as important to the fabric of our democracy. By registering, young men acknowledge their availability for their country in a dire national emergency.
And so...
All right, welcome back. Speaking with Carl Thornton Jr. and I'm speaking with Michelle Safford. And I was just saying that one of the things that you're really going to be shedding a lot of light on for me, and as I'm sure for my listeners too, is the VA Medical Foster Home Initiative. I've never heard of a medical foster home.
Oh, Carl, I'm really excited about this program, this initiative, because it is brand new to the VA. We have over 54 sites throughout the country that are now participating in this venture. And medical foster home is unique in that it actually provides an alternative to veterans, male or female, in regards to nursing home care. A lot of times our veterans are at the point in their life where the doctor says they're not able to take care of themselves any longer. They're not able to live in the house by themselves any longer. Just different reasons. It could be a plethora of things that's going on, but what happens is the doctor says, it's time. It's time for a change. It's time for you to either move in with family or find another alternative. And you can go to the assisted living or you can go to the nursing home. It just depends on whatever that patient's condition is. But medical foster home is sweet in that it falls right between assisted living and nursing home. And it's interesting because what happens is that you find people who have been living in their homes for many, many years, been married for 60 or 70 years, and the wife died, and maybe he's not able to take care of himself any longer. The children have families, and they're working, and all different things are coming into play that make it impossible for that patient to live at home again. And then you have this idea that came called medical foster home, where I actually go out into the community, and I locate caregivers who actually are willing angels who are willing to bring a veteran into their homes.
Interesting.
Yes, bring them into their homes and provide 24/7 care for them in their homes. And what that does is it puts them in a family-like atmosphere. So when you start talking about medical foster home, you think about fostering a veteran, fostering a family-like relationship with a veteran who might not have that available to them. Mm-hmm. Because I don't know if you are aware of this or not, but a lot of our veterans are detached from their families for one reason or another, be it when they were in Vietnam War or in World War II and they came back and there was no debriefing for them. Mm-hmm. And so they had to deal with the nightmares and the things that they had to see and do when they were in the war. And the families weren't able to relate, and nobody helped them come back together as a family. And so now we're looking at older patients who have been detached from their families for one reason or another. And their last years in their life are menial, you know, and there's no one there to love them, to support them, to encourage them. And in medical foster home, that's some of the stuff that you get that you might not typically see in a nursing home.
That is so interesting. So they're caregivers living in their own homes,
mm-hmm.
inviting the veteran to come live with them.
Exactly.
What are the criteria for the caregiver?
Okay. For the caregiver, they would need to get in touch with me because there are things that have to be done. One, they have to be CPR and first aid certified. We want to make sure that they are capable of doing the things that they need to do. If they have formal experience, be it their CNAs, retired LPNs, RNs, private sitters that have been trained to do certain things, we're looking for those type of people. But we're also looking for the people who've taken care of grandparents or uncles and aunts for 20 years and know how to administer medicines and know how to change them if they're in the bed, if you know, to turn them and do all those type of things. So it's more of looking for a person that has a heart for this, that have compassion for people, that enjoy caring for people, that get a sense of fulfillment out of taking care of somebody. That's the main criteria that I'm looking for, because I realized something, that if you have a willing spirit, you can be trained to do everything else.
Yes.
You really can be. And so those that don't have, shall I say, formal experience, we have a healthcare team that help out, that will give them training while they're taking care of the patient. They'll teach them how to provide quality care to that patient.
But so you said that one thing that's happening is the veteran who participates in this program is someone who is able to be somewhere in between an assisted living environment
mm-hmm.
and an actual nursing home environment. Does that mean that this person is still able to do some things independently, like continue to cook?
Well, we wouldn't encourage them to cook, but if in building that relationship with the caregiver, if she saw that brought joy to that patient to be able to cook, if he or she decided to open up the kitchen and say, come in and help me cook, that's actually called therapeutic activity.
Interesting.
And so then they can go in the kitchen. But it would be based on the relationship that the caregiver and the patient have. And, you know, one of the things that I really pride myself in doing is matching up the right caregiver with the right veteran.
That was going to be my next question,
Yeah.
How do you find that they're the right fit for each other?
Well, it's a process. One of the things that I do is when I'm talking to the veteran, I find out what his or her likes or dislikes are. I find out about their social system, their support system, their medical conditions. I try to find out as much information as I can about them. And while I'm talking to them, I'm also thinking about my caregivers that have come on board, because I have spent quality time with them, getting to know them, finding out what their interests are, finding out the things that they like to do and don't like to do. And then even the caregivers are able to tell me what they think their limitations are. You know, if somebody says, well, sure, I don't think I would do well with a bedbound patient, then I remember that. But if I have someone that's ambulatory but likes to go fishing
mm-hmm.
or likes to travel, you know, or, you know, like to go outside and do activities, gardenings and things like that. I think about that when I'm matching them, thinking about potential caregivers that might be a good fit for them.
And you're considering some details that I wouldn't even thought of, gardening.
Oh, yeah.
Things like that. But it makes sense that that's part of the equation.
Oh, definitely. Because, you know, this is a long-term commitment that we're asking the caregivers as well as the veterans to make. We're saying that this caregiver is going to open up their house to you, and they're going to bring you in, you and any baggage that you have. They're bringing it into their home. They're inviting you in, and they're saying, we're going to help you to have a better quality of life for however long you're living, you're going to live. And that becomes a long-term commitment, because when somebody knows that they're being loved and taken care of, guess what? They'll live longer.
Interesting.
They'll live longer. They'll look better. They'll feel better about themselves. And that's what this is all about.
And so one of the things that we need to realize is how long they're with them day to day. They're there 24/7, as opposed to being there for a few hours during the, or even most of the daylight hours, and going back some to the VA
That's
to sleep
true.
At night. They're with them 24/7.
Yes, they are. They have a room. They have a private room in that caregiver's home. And a lot of times, I do encourage the caregivers to, they have to have the basic things in the room, such as the bed, a chair, a nightstand, a dresser, things along that nature. But leave it to the point that veteran can then personalize that room to make it help them to adjust from being in from one environment to another environment, from coming out of a home that they've been in for 50 or 60 years into your home and having to adjust and adapt to your rules, your family life and everything. So allow them at least the opportunity to personalize their room, you know, and that way it makes the adjustment a lot easier.
Do you find, I want to say type of veteran, that may not be the best way to say it, but would not really be suitable for that environment?
Well, it would depend a lot on the caregiver and what that caregiver is able to bring to the table. And when I say that, you have a lot of people out here who may have had a loved one or may have worked at Georgia Regional that have mental health experience. And one of the things that I found out is that the patients that have mental health disorders are typically the hardest ones to place, because they might have behavioral outbursts. They might do very bizarre things. But if you've got caregivers who are capable of dealing with that, they're familiar with it for one reason or another because they've had some association with things like that, then I can also place those veterans. But I think the mental health patients that are extreme, severe, they have severe disorders, and perhaps the spinal cord patients are the ones that are most difficult to place. But again, it all depends on the caregiver and what the caregiver is bringing to the table and what they're capable of providing.
So a lot of the caregivers could actually receive further training if they wanted to work with someone, say, with some of the more severe behavior disorders.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We do offer training to our caregivers. I provide training twice a year in a more of a formal workshop type thing. But one of the benefits of this program is that we have a healthcare team, an interdisciplinary team of people who come on board and help me with these veterans. And they actually go out to the home. They actually provide the primary care for these veterans that go out into the home. And one of the things that makes it beneficial to the VA is that we eliminate clinic visits. But we also eliminate hospitalizations, because that caregiver is learning how to take care of that veteran and can foresee things that are going on before it gets too extreme or whatever. And that gives us an opportunity to prevent some other things from going on. So it works out. But this healthcare team consists of doctors, registered nurse, recreational therapist, physical therapist, and all these people. We get together and we work together with the caregiver to make sure that he or she they're educated so that they can actually do the things that are needed to be done for that particular veteran.
You know, it's interesting because, you know, it wasn't that long ago that we were hearing so much about how our veterans, and not only veterans, but even people who were coming back from war, still active duty, were being neglected. It is so refreshing to hear about all the things that are taking place for our veterans. And as you said from the beginning, for the men and the women. You'll stay with us. Our guest is Cheryl Safford. She and I will be right back.